You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, it's the After Party with Chris and Richard. This is Outcast episode 6. We're up to 6 already, From the Shadows It Watches, which means it's a romantic comedy episode.
Yes, and it starts off with, you know, a quiet evening at home, just watching some home movies.
As you do.
As you do, of exorcisms that may not have gone as well as the good reverend thinks they have.
I kind of want to see just like a bonus feature online that's like a found footage film of just some of those exorcisms.
Yes.
You know, what a great extra feature that would be.
Clearly they recorded a lot.
Yeah, I kind of say, that seems like the sort of thing that people would be like, no, you can't film this.
Yes.
This is a pretty intensely personal.
But he's like, I'm the reverend, I'm in the room, screw you.
I am the one who talks to God, and he told me, fuck off.
I love the fact that when you're watching some of these, it's pretty clear the reverend, who, you know, has always said his big sin is pride. It's like, no, your big sin's being an idiot. Being a credulous idiot.
Well, I mean,
like, oh, I'm not possessed anymore. Oh, thank you, demon. Oh, I mean, a not possessed person.
his big sin is pride in the sense that he's an idiot and has no idea how that, the fact that even though he knows it's a sin, he's still doing it.
Yeah.
It's like someone saying, God, I'm so glad I quit drinking while they're drinking.
Yeah.
You know, and this is this episode. This is kind of his episode of like the preacher falls the fuck apart.
Yes.
You know, he has finally come to terms with the fact that that shit didn't work and has even gone so far as to think, well, maybe it's just blood. So I'll just use my blood because how could this kid, Kyle, possibly be as effective as me?
Bad mistake, particularly because in the process he manages to piss off Patricia, who's pretty much the only person that likes him and, you know, is clearly quite ready to bang him.
Well, has banged him,
yeah.
Apparently. As they, in their conversation, you're like, oh, I just assumed she was, like, sniffing around. I didn't realize they'd actually had sex. But that seems clear that they had.
I don't know. It seemed implied, I think, rather than clear. I think she's still like, well, you know.
Well, her bratty son certainly thinks that they do.
Yeah.
He flat out says it.
Oh, annoying bratty kid number one.
Yeah. Of course, he's a ginger.
Who? Careful, son. Who, you know, he's going to be interesting because everybody else is deliberately trying to find out as much as they can or hide as much information. He just keeps stumbling across stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know,
even at the very end of this episode with the preacher in Sydney watching the carving of the pentagram in the chest, which I've just, having read the comic, I've just been waiting for when that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And was like, oh my God. But as he's oddly the only witness to it.
I am really hoping that he doesn't end up, you know, being chased through the hills by a mountain lion. Because if played wrong, they could push him that direction. He's a little bit fortuitous.
Yeah.
Which is one of my first actual minor gripes with the series. It's very minor, and it's just like, no. Just keep him away from, like, you know, large carnivorous cats or anything narratively like that, and we'll be fine.
Yeah. I assumed that he's such a little shit that he's probably possessed too, or whatever. But then at the end, the way he's reacting, watching the Reverend, I'm thinking,
no, I think he's just a little shit.
Just a little shit.
He's a teenager.
Yeah, he's just a teenager.
He's a teenager in a town where, you know, there are very few role models. You know, he's clearly runs roughshod over his mother, who's quite abusive to him in over breakfast. Well, you know, there seems to be endemic demonic possession.
Yeah.
I want to know, this is one of the things I'm actually wondering at this point, is like, why, and I think clearly this is going to be answered at some point, why is there such a density of possession cases in this one relatively small community?
It is kind of strange that that's never occurred to anyone to even so much consider.
Well, no, consider. I think it, I think it clearly has. Well, no, because, you know, the point with the sheriff is the sheriff knows something's up.
Yeah.
Because the sheriff has, you know, and it's been expressed in previous episodes, clearly turned a blind eye to what it is the Reverend does. And the, you know, I think it's like episode 2,
yeah,
where, you know, Mark says, well, you know, what are you, why are you turning your blind eye to this? In fact, I think it was episode one where he's like, why are you turning a blind eye to this? And he goes, the Reverend does, I keep the peace in my way, and the Reverend keeps the peace in this town in his way.
Well, and then, of course, this episode, Reverend basically tells Giles, I don't think that anything I ever did was any effective. And Giles is kind of like, almost practically says, yeah, no shit.
Nice work, son.
It's weird that Giles kind of, in his own way, seems like a father confessor to a lot of characters.
Yeah.
You know, that people feel everybody seems to, that's the one guy they trust and will tell anything to. And nothing he's done makes me think he's not trustworthy so much as that maybe he was, to some degree, protecting people from things he didn't have any control over.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he knew something was going on but didn't want to cause a panic. I don't know. We don't know yet.
What's interesting with this episode is that a lot of people are, and non-people, are playing to their own agendas. Because what we're basically seeing is that Kyle, played by Patrick Fugit, is kind of starting to get his life together a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he's actually got a job now.
We're working on the chain gang.
Yeah. Dealing with tar, which, considering, like, the, you know, levitating tar monsters, probably a bad career choice. You might want to have just gone for picking up trash.
A little bit of PTSD there, and in fact, he has a little bit of PTSD from it.
Well, or is it... this question is, like, is that PTSD? Or, you know, we're still very unclear as to the nature of his, well, let's call them powers. You know, was that just him freaking out? Or was that, you know, do we have the first signs of a vision this time around? That seemed interesting to me.
Yeah, are we starting to see a new level to his powers?
Yeah.
Good question. I mean, honestly, he has finally turned that corner for himself where he's like, I really think I'm the only person who can do this. And I'm starting to have a certain level of confidence, but I also realize I don't really know a whole lot yet. But it's time I started to find out. And
yeah.
It sucks. Like, we saw in the last episode where he sucked the life, the demon out of the runaway, but she's in a coma, and he's like, this is all fucked. And this one, he shows up towards the end, does the same thing towards a guy from ER, who is a guy you don't want possessed running around, because he's big.
Yeah.
And he's fine. In fact, yeah, he's more than fine. He's like, that, you know, it was like a little vacation having a demon in me there. It wasn't even that bad. Well, I kind of liked it.
This is the the intro, because finally they get it right. Like, this is the first one where they actually get a full-blown win.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never had this before. The whole thing has been about Kyle trying to work out what his powers are, what's going on. And now it kind of reminded me of It Follows. Because the whole thing is, it was that they try something and they go, aha, this kind of work. And then they go, oh, no, it only kind of works. It's not completely work. We were kind of wrong about something. Kyle is basically just kind of, he's the blind man trying to describe an elephant by grabbing hold of it.
Yeah.
And he's starting to have held enough of the elephant, pardon, to get a clue as to what it is. But
no, this is definitely the trunk, thank God.
Yeah, he still doesn't know it's an elephant. Like, we're getting to that point. But then we have this additional thing that he's not just there to... He's not necessarily on the side of the angels. He may be able to stop whatever these things are,
yeah,
but they have their own use for him. As proven by Grace Zabriskie turning up and trying to suck whatever it is out of him.
Well, talk about, you were saying, this is one with everybody following on their own agendas. Grace Zabriskie bowing out with this episode, you know, with a very strong, very heavy Zabriskie episode of, yeah, like, just showing up and going like, you know what, I'm fucking hungry and I'm tired of waiting and I'm going to go suck some of the juice out of the
outcast. And the conversation with Sydney, yeah, the follow-on from that basically, you know, she seems to have made whatever is inside her seems to have made some error.
Yeah, well,
and has, you know, limitations that the others don't have.
Well, he flat out tells her, Mildred, you're not here to have a good time. Do you know how many you could have sacrificed?
Yeah.
Well, with whatever that means. My assumption is that, like, to some extent, Sydney is protecting Kyle.
Mm.
Because whatever's in him is needed for their big day he's, they have
well,
coming
he's
up.
He's consistently protected him and isolated him.
Yes.
And now his worst, the worst things that could possibly happen. Kyle is in situations where he's putting himself in personal danger, and he's no longer isolated.
Yeah.
You know, so this is very much, you know, Sydney going, how do I put the cork back in the bottle? So it's fascinating because, you know, while Kyle and the Reverend don't know what they're doing, Sydney is being consistently wrong-footed by them, which is really fascinating. And Brent Spiner is kind of ramping up that kind of cold malice to... Now we're at, like, tepid concern.
Yeah.
And the fact that he has to intervene and go, that Grace Briscoe's character is endangering whatever it is he's up to. And now he's got to get to the point of you know, carving a pentagram into the... and the wonderful conversation he has with the Reverend, where it's not explicit that he is Satan, but yeah, he pretty much says it outright.
Well, I mean,
he basically quotes the Book of Job.
I mean, that being said, like, he knows the Reverend still thinks this is all Satan. Like, even if he wasn't, carving a pentagram into his chest and insinuating that he's Satan would be the best way to fuck with the Reverend.
Yeah.
You know,
but
even
but
if
he also
he's
does
not.
It, but he also does it with Margaret as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where he says, you know, I've been walking the earth, which is from the Book of Job.
Yeah.
Where God says to Satan, where have you been? And he says, I've been walking the earth. So, like, to the others, he's like, you know, I am the worst thing you can possibly cross. You know, now the question is, you know, is he, you know, with his plan to, you know, carve up the Reverend?
Yeah.
You know, is that going to bow him? Because now he's marked and terrified.
One last thing here, the little side note where his Kyle's, you know, sister, in quotes, was it Megan, I believe?
Yes.
Goes to visit her former rapey abuser in the hospital again.
Yep.
Who's like, insinuates strongly that he's going to blackmail them.
Yes.
Because, hey, your husband's a cop, and all
he
I have to do is
beat
say
the
what
shit
happened.
Out of me.
Yeah, that was definitely beyond what should have been the call of duty.
Yeah.
Right there. Not so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy deserves
it. Because
the guy deserves a beating, but maybe not from a cop is the way to do it.
Yeah.
And sure enough, when he comes to bed, she's like, that night, her husband, she's like, yeah, why don't you just go sleep somewhere else?
Yeah. They seem to have some communication issues.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, too. Although, on the positive side, you know, Kyle and Allison seem to be doing a little bit better.
They definitely do.
Yeah.
Although still left on a bit of a, like, she's mad. He's like, he doesn't want to tell her.
Yeah.
You know? He doesn't want to tell her what's really going on. And would you?
No, not really.
Yeah.
It's like, hello, dear, you were possessed.
But I have a feeling we're going to find out a lot more in next week's episode. So
you get a feeling. You get a feeling we're building to something.
Tune in then.